Bubble you know, I used to call him Bobo. All of us did. Bobo in Iran, in dialect, his father. Memo, his mother. So I said, how come, Bobo, you know Persian, you know, Arabic, you know, Hebrew? The way I knew he knew Hebrew was that there was an old lady, a Hebrew lady, who used to come, who was a friend of the family. Very beautiful. She bangles all around. I used to just watch her. Very, even her age didn't make any difference. And she and my father would discuss by the hour. And my mother looked, and she'd go into some work and come back and show that the lady was still at it, you know. So I knew that she could talk so well. So I asked him, I said, how come that you know all these languages when you never went to school? You just gave up everything and started out in search of God. Then when did you have to do? You weren't educated. So how do you know all this? And my father looked down and said, child, I knew it all in a second. In a moment, it came to me. When I was a young girl, it came to me in a moment. Ah, it came to me in a moment. That was accepted. As a child, one accepts. It's only when you're grown up that one doubts, one weighs, one analyzes. This was a complete truth that was accepted. Years later, one of the few questions I asked Baba was about this, because I knew my father never lied. Absolutely opposite of what he didn't have the art of mind as I had. So I asked Baba, and I said, Baba, how, you know, Baba said this, that he knew all these languages and all these, because he knew them well, he knew them as horribly. And he said he knew it in a moment, Baba. Huh? And Baba said, so why not? So what? You know, it's nothing extraordinary, nothing so surprising. The Baba said, it is given, it happens to rare ones. But when it happens, it can only take a moment. Because it isn't anything you acquire. My expression said, we studied years and years and years to get into the English and the Marathi, and how in a moment? So Baba said, it is all there. It is not something you acquire in a moment, but it's there. And how long does it take to remove a veil? And I said, how long does it take to remove a curtain like that? He said, 1 second. He said, exactly. It's all there, but there's a curtain on it. And to the rare ones who give it up for God, he didn't get educated because it was in search of God. So we just removed the curtain and it's there.
So you're saying that he wasn't so veiled then?
He wasn't?
So veiled. That's what you're saying, in effect. That your father wasn't so veiled. Because, obviously such a thing, says that, his consciousness wasn't just limited to the gross conscious world.
No, this is about the curtain over the knowledge, the knowledge of languages. Yeah. I mean, this is this particular thing. The knowledge of language he did not gain by acquiring it or going through it. It was already there. So the knowledge is already there.
Right,
so
the knowledge is already there with all of us. What I'm saying is the effect is you're saying that he wasn't purely gross conscious.
She didn't say that. It has nothing to do with gross conscious.
I don't know.
Well, language is gross conscious. Yeah.
Many did imply that it was compensation because he had not gone to school in search for God. Mm. So
you see, when you give it up to or for him so completely, totally, he gives. Mm. It is his turn now to come up to you and give it. Mm. And to me, what was more important about my father or my mother was, ever since a child, I would watch them and see the two angles that you can see a thing with, from two angles. The same thing, the thing that would happen, I would see my mother looking at it from a material point of view, a practical point of view. And then I would see that my father explaining from quite a different angle. Like I would be playing with something. I was very little then. They didn't even know I knew Irani. And they would talk, And my mother would say, look, Cheryl, this happened today, and that one did this, and, you know, they wouldn't do that, and I thought it should be like this. And whatever it was that she said sounded very logical, very clear. And I would absorb it, and I'd say to myself, that's right, she's absolutely right. It's a very clear, logical picture. My father would let her say whatever she had to say. And then he would begin and say, no, Shiri, this is like this and like this. And it was an absolute opposite angle. And I would say, yes, this is right. This is the right. And yet they both seemed right. You see, but all the time it would be this angle, and my father would say from that angle. And it would always calm mother. As though she didn't understand directly, it would always calm her. And I would say, yes. A balance. Because there was so much difference. The difference between them was more than that. There was a tremendous difference in age, and totally different temperaments. Here was the material, here was the spiritual. And yet, it was a very good marriage. They all always talked, she always told him, he always explained. Although she had to be more practical than she might have been had my father been less unpractical. because there were the children to be raised, there was a business, a bloody shop, and if she left it just to him, goodness knows what would have happened. So she had to keep the control, even though she was at home. All the employees at one time, I know because she would say, you know, she said, 43 servants working in the business thing, and you had to go and do that yourself? Things like that. All those 43 would come home to receive their pay. Mother wouldn't trust father to be there. And like this little incident I've told a number of times, for instance, sometimes he had to stay over at the tally shop at night, so my mother would give a nice blanket to him. For sure, because he was going to stay over to sleep at the tally shop. Invariably, when he came home again the next day or the day after, there was no blanket. And always, I would hear snatches of conversation like, but Shireen, he was so poor. Had you seen him, Shireen? Poor. Oh, my mother was all right, sure, it's the same thing. I can't go and see if superstar ready and this and that. Or you'd say, but Shireen, he was so cold. If I did not give him my right, he would have died. Yeah, I know, sure. But I didn't know the extent of it till one day when I heard my mother prayer. She burst out. She said, oh, Cheryl, she said, had I kept all those blankets I've given you all these times, I could have started a blanket business myself and raised my children. So you see, she had to be more. And then I heard from someone, a taxi driver whom I met in more recent years, who was little when he saw Baba at the trolley shop in Pune, that's what we did. And my brother Behram told me, go talk to that taxi driver. He had come in that taxi. He had seen Baba as Merwan. So I went up to him. And what did he remember? He says, I was a little boy, and I would stand before the trolley shop where Merwanji, meaning Baba, would sit behind a cash box. And he said, at a certain time, I would see all these fakirs gather. The Sufi mendicants gathered all in front of the trolley shop. And Merwanji would open the cash box, put his hand in it, and take big fistfuls of those silver coins and fling them out. And all the fakirs would run after and pick them up and come back for more. And so that's where the cash box was. So my poor mother, with a Jewish for a husband, God for a son, if she didn't do anything on her own, there would be.
There's a good story of, I don't want to give it away, but it has to do with, you tell it about when your mother was trying to deal with the legal situation,
trying to...
No, it's just a short part of how when she was explaining to your father, you're trying to get him to give some feedback, and how...
Oh yes, that's when my father had to go to court. I won't give you the whole story, but that incident. That's what my father had, because he signed away his whole business and everything to a boy whom he had befriended to work with him as just about a partner in the party business. So, not knowing what he was signing away, but trusting the boy completely, who deceived him, in short. So my father signed away the whole thing. All stock, lock, barrel, shop, business, everything. So there again, it was my mother who had to deal with the lawyers, and you know, and she could read English, but she was very intelligent and all that, but she didn't know the English language. She wouldn't have my father sign or herself sign anything until she showed those papers and documents to a helpful friend, a learned friend. So then it was time when it was time for my father to go to the witness bar. The lawyer would come to my mother and say, "Please, Shirima, will you tell your husband not to take the side of the opponent while the witness bar?" You know, if he cannot say anything bad about him, will you please ask him to keep quiet? I will do it. Guys, my father would say, but you know, I feel sorry for him. After all, it was not his fault. I should have asked what was written before I signed it, and after all, it is my signature. And you know how much he will have to suffer, and on and on. So, just before he would set out to go to the court, in a horse carriage tonga, you see this one? The one horse carriage? So there, I still remember this sight. From our alley, this tonga would be going up. And my father would be sitting at the back. And mother giving last minute instructions, you know, following the tonga, a few steps. And she addressed Shoro, that my father, in starched, immaculate white clothes and everything, you know. So she would say, "And Shoro," she said, "remember, don't take snuff. Now don't make the shirt, you know, dirty, but just remember, yes, Shirin. All the time that little tip of the tongue moving, but yes, down, the name of God." And then she would say, and don't take the side of that rascal. Don't side him. If you can't say anything bad about him, keep your mouth shut, Shoro. Yes, Shirin. And don't do this, Shoro. No, Shirin. Yes, Shirin. No, and as the carriage would go out of the alley and on. And my mother would turn, go and do her housework, you know. And of course the time came, this went on, and my father would go be in the witness stand, still saying God's name, and taking the side of the opponent if he was asked anything. But he loved Shirin, and Shirin had told him to keep him out shut, so he didn't say much at times. But I still recall that the day when I came home, whenever I used to come home, I used to find mother was away in those days. But she would leave the food all warm on the fire. She would leave my plate in its place. She would put everything ready. And then though, sometimes she would be back in time, sometimes she wouldn't. And I would hear these things going on. But one day, when I came home, there was absolute silence. And I knew, without anyone telling me anything, that we had lost the case. Absolutely and completely lost. And there was no explosion. I don't know what my father has said to my mother or what, there was no explosion. We knew it was gone. And my father would say, "Well, Shoro, we have lost everything. Not just lost the case, we have lost everything." And my father would say things like, "But what is there to lose, Sherry? We have won long ago. There is no question of losing. We are winners. Lost forever. We have won. There's nothing to lose. But look at him for it, that boy. Now I feel for him how much he will have to pay back. But well, what am I going to see? I'm not going to be there to see what he's done. I want to see the man." And then my mother witnessed the bay tree flourishing. The people who were deceived and won, so-called one of the case, they were flourishing. They were building more buildings and the top story to their home, and they were getting richer, and they were getting more horse carriages, and just flourishing. which group my mother all the time, because they were in the same town, the same locality, the same place. And she said, do you know Sharon McGinty before me? You know, because these things would be going on. And so they crashed. But what my father did was, what he did was wrote a note. He wrote a little note and sent it to this young man. And he said, I'm old, I have not much time left in this world. You are young, you have a life before you. I want you to know that I have forgiven you. That I do not even owe you my forgiveness. There is nothing owing. Now, it is for you to ask forgiveness of God. That note was sent, never replied. They were too busy in their imagined prosperity. Anyway, father died in the year. Sometime after that, I came to Baba. Baba sent back Jal and the others to look after mother. Years went by. Mother would come sometime to be with Baba. That's when I would see her. She died. Then there was a time when we went to Guru Prasad. For the first time, Baba was giving darshan in Guru Prasad. Not in the hall, as would usually be done later, but on the veranda, that spacious marble veranda that was so beautiful. Baba sat in the chair, and the driveway was full of his lovers. Streams of lovers coming in all the time. The veranda was filled with them. And each one would come up to the chair and bow down to him and have their moment with Baba. Baba would give them a pat, a prasad, whatever. We were inside the house. This is on the veranda, which means outside. But we had these beautiful big doors, glass doors. We would look through every now and then and see what Baba's doing, who are coming. Again, they'll go in. Another one would come. At one point, when I came to the door to look, I saw a lady climbing those marble steps towards Baba, very much an Irani lady, old, extraordinary familiarity about her. I said, I have seen her somewhere. Who is she? But I couldn't trace her. It nailed me, but I couldn't. She came over to Baba. She just stood there and looked at him, just like that. And then she went down. And instead of putting her head on Baba's feet, she started sobbing, crying as my heart would break. And to see that old woman come out, more and more intrigued. And Baba put both his hands on her head and pushed her head on his knees instead. And let her cry. And after a while, the crying seemed over, and she looked up and Baba said, what is it? What is the matter? And she said, Baba, he won't die. He can't die. He's just hanging on to life, to disobey you. He has said to me that I must have forgiveness of God. Then it struck me as if my God is that man's, young man's wife. And she was so beautiful at the time, and handsome, so vital. Vitality was her main attraction. Mm-hmm. And here she was very destroying the steps, came to Baba. And they did not believe Baba. They were the ones who were of the opposition. And I could not believe the word she was saying. And she said that there's nothing to keep his body and life together except his will. He says, I will not die till I have forgiveness from God. So Baba, she said, you've got to forgive him. Way, I could see from the tilt of his head that he was smiling. He looked way out for a time. And then he looked back at her as if he decided. He said, all right, I forgive. Mm-hmm. And it seemed that gesture always affected me very much. When Baba said, I forgive, it seemed like the tide of the oceans had come over the beach and cleaned the whole beach so that not a scratch was left. Clear, absolutely clear. And Baba did this. I forgive. It seemed to reach beyond the person, beyond anything, like an ocean. And that was enough. She just got it. Again, looked at Baba, started like that, with no emotion in her face. She just looked at him for a while, turned back, and walked away. I never saw her again. I never heard of her again. My only wish was, if Mother was here now to hear this. That is how God deals with the situations, the failings. That is how he reaches out. Never fail. You only have to wait to receive, to ask. And he was a smart guy. My father always said, this young man is very smart. And I acceded to that. I said, yes, you know, you're pretty smart to even wait till he was forgiven before he could die.
And he died. Yeah. And he died.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And after she went home, grandfather, in a day she died.
He died.
He died. I'm sorry. After she took home the message to her husband that Baba, God has forgiven you, it was within 48 hours that he died. Is it has to be difficult for him because Baba doesn't come to Pune just any time or all the time. He knew that he would only come in the summer. So he hung on. That's the way she expressed it. She was just hanging on to Baba could come and forgive. So he wasn't smart.
How did you all hear that then, Marty? Did someone bring a message from where she was?
How did you find out that he died?
Because in our community, you know what happens when a person dies. All community is involved.
Oh, everyone here. My sister
Lord, here
is. You know, there are not so many directions. You know about who's born and who dies.
The community, the point is circulated.
Yes, they're circulated. So that you can attend a funeral, all the others are asked to get. So my sister Goma, my brother, a guy in my family, we all know, you see.
So did they go?
As she turned her back and walked away down the stairs, it was as if more than a person had left, as if the whole lady that they left with her washed away, never bothered anyone else. Just didn't even come to my mind again till I was telling the story.
The most beautiful part I feel is to have your father and send him that note and saying that he had forgiven me and that now it was for him to ask God for forgiveness.
The father made it clear that he did not owe him anything, not even forgiveness, but that he needed forgiveness and only for it to ask God now. From him, he had given it. I heard the father was later neglected by the family.
Yeah.
After they grew and flourished from the money that he had gotten, ill-gotten or whatever, begotten from my father's. He was very happy about it all. But then later when they...
He has to go to hell if he wants to do it.
In control.
It's about the
father. Father elected the father. Just the father's capacity. But he was a dervish to the very end. I always said in Baba said, be in the world but not of it. Actually, the living example of the father. Is there any story of what happened at the Zen, what Baba said, or were you there? What happened?
This one? Story about what?
When her father dropped the bottle. What Baba said about
that Erichna. I'd like to hear that. Erich, please tell that. Oh, my father dropped the bottle.
Oh, sure.
I want to know about my mother. But my father, all I knew that he was in Bombay. But he had gone to Bombay. He was in the hospital. He insisted on going to the hospital. And insisted on going to Bombay. And I realized
I think Baba was out of India.
Baba was out of India. And he didn't want that the family should be able to do that trouble. So no amount of persuading him made him agree to it. He said, no, I want to, you must take me. So then we took him to Bangalore, mother, attraction. Those days it was rare to get attraction and take him all the way there. So he was in the hospital, and then so mother had to come back here. Again we went back, and mother said, this is ridiculous, I'm going to bring him back. So at last in the hospital, when he agreed, or at least seemed to didn't protest too much, so she came back to get a taxi to go bring him. That's when he died. So mother wasn't near his bed, near him when he
died. Nobody seen all the brothers.
No brothers went there, but
they were with Baba. Nobody was there.
What
that's
Baba
what
say?
My mother would complain, four sons I have, four. And not one which that was a refrain I heard many a time.
What did Baba comment about that?
I don't
know. Did he say he came back? Said that.
Do you know?
I don't know. Must have been reported in the books or somewhere, I don't know.
Maybe
God
anyway.
You don't know.
I heard from mother that Baba was very to the left behind. And Shirinmai was very adamant that Baba should take Bairam to the left. So she said that you are taking all others, why can't you take your own brother out? And that was the reason there was nobody left. So mother regretted that. Shirinmai.
So what trip is it? 31 trip? Did you know that you were 31?
No, yeah. Must be 31, because I came to Baba 32 years
ago. That was first trip.
Yes.
Is that nice? I'd really like to...
So what do you want
to
do? Yeah. What happened was...
Okay. Because I wasn't there, I didn't go to... Baba went there, so I always wanted to...
No, the simple thing is that first of all, Baba's mother developed friendship with my mother just before her death. So I insisted that my mother should be in Pune. We were at Narabas with Baba. Our whole family was there. So she had come some days ago to Narabas and all that. So she must have told Baba about it. We don't know anything. It's all between the son and the mother. So later on I learned about it. So she was adamant that my mother be sent to Pune to be her company. Mm-hmm. Because she was fond of my mother.
But Baba encouraged it too, even before that. Baba was always skipping.
Yeah, that was there on the tour, on the tours and all that. It was there. But she was fond of her to a degree where she was insistent that she should be now shifted to Pune. Mm-hmm. So Baba sent us, as I told you all, that Baba of course contrived in such a way that he incited my father, who had retired, and he was a person who would want to mix with his community as Zoroastrian. Mm-hmm. So, and Pune was a place where there were many Zoroastrians here. So my father, whenever he would say something, he said, yeah, it's a good idea, there are Zoroastrians here. So he worked his way by that way, he prepared the ground. So eventually it so happened when mother insisted that my mother should be there in Pune. So he naturally told my father, that's a good idea now. I think that he will be very happy and feel settled. He was getting old, my father. So in Pune, and there is Ramani Zoroastrian, he'll be able to mix with them and be there and so forth. My father liked the idea. Pune was very having a good climate and all that at that time, not now. Very beautiful city. So father was very, very optimistic about going to Pune and all that. Baba has never broached this topic to us. With my mother and Nirvan and my sister, they were very young. You have seen my mother's picture with Baba at that time. So then one day gradually you see, Baba broaches the topic to my mother and says that, you know, I want you for a very special purpose, want you to go to China. The book of 15 days old. And of course I was the interpreter. Mm-hmm. I had to read the book. That's why I come to know. Mm-hmm. So I was stationed there and go there to China and be there. And I'll come to the 15 days time. After 15 days are over. So, and do one thing, but you have to carry all your luggage. Because my father was told, carry all the luggage.
Yeah,
all the belongings had to be carried. His clothes, that were there. No other belongings, he didn't have any possessions or anything, but a trunk of clothes and a bedding roll. So carry all that for 15 days. All that
drunk, yes, that drunk. Company, come on, you
are. But don't do one thing, don't unpack. You can carry that, but don't unpack it. So it's all right. Because when Baba would say anything to my mother, she would accept it. Literally. She is very guileless, so to say. So, and then naturally Baba told me, you all have to go. But where to go? See, already there is a house, this Dhingra house where we are now. Baba had already informed his younger brother Bhairav to be in search of a house. Because this was the topic between my father and Baba's brother and Baba and all that. So Bhairav had in the meantime found the place. And he had sent a telegram so that the place is ready. Send the family. So when we knew, he told us, so this is the telegram, it has come, go and contact Dara and he'll take care. So we went there. So of course, I, my father and mother and sister were there. I was sent there to settle them for 15 days. Then what happened was that days were passing by, in the meantime there came a funeral there. Somebody was there who had died in the meantime. In the meantime, what had happened was Baba's mother was very happy to have the whole family there. She was satisfied and contented with that. Mother would go and visit the house and so forth. So, some funeral was there and it so happened that my father wanted the clothes. You know, the Zoroastrians had to wear a particular type of clothes for the funeral. They have to have that headgear and coat and all that. That's what then what happened is that my father got very furious in trying to tell that why aren't we unpacking, all these days have passed, a week has passed by and we are not unpacking anything. What is lost time? What is there to unpack? We couldn't say that because Baba told us not to tell our father that we are not unpacked. No, but just a minute, not much is there. So in the meantime, of course, we unpacked and all that. I left the place.
You did unpack?
Yeah, the father unpacked his trunk and gave him the dress and he went to the funeral. We don't go. We are not supposed to go. We are not pursuing the funeral for wedding. In the meantime, Baba called me back. Baba was a funny guy, not lesser at the time. So I went there, joined Baba here, after having settled the family here. And they used to sleep on that trunk only, open the bedding roll and sleep there. No furniture, nothing was there. In the meantime, what had happened, we came to know that mother has fallen ill. My mother used to go very frequently there and then she was attending. We received letters, immediate letters. There were a lot of exchange of correspondence. And then one day we come to know. But then the telegram saying that mother had passed away. That was not.
Yeah.
It was in the night we received the telegram. So Baba told me to go in search of a taxi because he wanted to go immediately to his mother. So I went out. We had a lot of contacts at Mahabalesha because we used to visit Mahabalesha. So I immediately arranged the taxi, although it was very scarce at the time, the taxi was money changer. And roads were not open. Nobody would want to come because these roads, those who have been to Mahabalesha, they know how the roads are. Now the roads are better. Now, although with all the zigzags and all that. So no driver was supposed to drive. but eventually I met him because of emergency and we want to go. So we left the place. I think Pilamar was the
house. Pilamar?
But Pilamar, the one the lady was saying, the lady who told
that was
her
father.
No. That is Pilamar is
she said Pilamasi.
Pilamasi means Javer's father's sister.
The pioneer Babalava in Karachi was arrested. She was with Baba.
The whole community was against, but she was the only one there.
She is the only one Baba took along with her, apart from Erich. Baba, Erich, and Pilamar got in taxi.
And we got in Karachi.
So
we reached out in the morning. And of course we went straight to the house. The mother was there.
You went straight to the house?
Yes. We went straight to the house. Mother was there, Baba sat there and looked at mother and all that. Crossed his hands like that. And then the Baba told them to conduct whatever it
was.
It was not the long lane. We went by the long lane because at that time that long lane was open for traffic. We could get the car that way.
That's right.
And this way it was stopped as now that you see.
Then the car,
so we stopped
Baba
the car.
Stopped the car and Baba told them, look away, don't look at me. So Erich and Pilamar stood looking away. What Baba was working, nobody knows.
Just outside the car.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then he clapped, so they looked back.
And then we went then together inside the house. And Baba went. And it was by Baba, mother's bedside and all that. Mother was lying here. So Baba fondled her face. Baba fondled her face with his hands, looked at her. It was a great warmth. It was a great warmth.
Did
see her. No, saw her. I was there. Yeah. And then, Baba left the place and went to Bindra house.
Mm-hmm.
Told those who were there, the family, to attend to the last time. Mm-hmm. They attended the last time.
So then Erich's mother told me that when they went back to the house, and my sister-in-law was very busy seeing to the many little details that have to be attended to when for a funeral. But Gaimai, that is Erich's mother, and Sister Gulaman, Erich's mother and aunt were standing by Shirinai's mother's bedside while my sister-in-law was doing things. And Gaimai told us afterwards that she suddenly saw through my mother's nostrils little golden hands came out. And they just came out and they came out, little golden hands that kept coming out like butterflies. And on and on and on, so many. And then there was one pair, big hands, like the usual size hand, all gold. And the big hand and all the little hands hovered over mother like this, round in circles. And then went a little higher, still hovering round in circles, a lot like butterflies, you know. And on and on and on, till it just went to see. And she said there was such a beautiful atmosphere, feeling in the room. She just took that daze. And my sister, I hadn't seen her, but she had gone out to the room to get some more material and tell the priest.
Which is that parade?
Yes. But I don't know anything about this, because soon after that we left for Mahabaleshwar again.
And the reason why I asked you to say this, someone had said that Baba did not go to
No, he went. I remember that. He went to the house, he fondled mother's face, He passed his hand over her.
But was there then, if that part, that story is true, that was there, died from her after Baba Kastra?
I don't recall.
I think that guy
must. I don't recall.
That although her eyes were closed.
Yeah, he was fine, very good.
When Baba,
was quite peace prevailing.
When Baba passed his hand over Mother's face, there was a sigh. As if that was really the moment of her leaving.